Welcome, everyone, to the Abundance Formula Podcast. My name is Gina Oldham, practitioner of prosthetics and orthotics, fitness expert, business owner, lifestyle entrepreneur, and four-time national bikini competitor. This podcast was created to empower people to build abundant lives for themselves, lives that are purposeful, fruitful, and send a ripple effect through the world. From short motivational segments to game-changing conversations with highly successful and abundant people, be ready to learn the formula of common actions, thought patterns, and principles that create abundant living. Whether it be your mindset, health, business, or relationships, the Abundance Formula has what you need to uplevel your life to the one you're called to live. So here we go.
Hello, hello, everyone. I'm so glad you're here today. You are in for such a treat. Our guest today is Grant Baldwin. He's a professional speaker and founder of the Speaker Lab. It didn't always start out this way, though. As you'll hear in the episode, he started out as a broke youth pastor who didn't really know what he wanted to do with his life. But boy, has that changed. He followed the soul hits that he got throughout his life that he was called to speak, and he finally took the leap. Fast forward, he's now earned over $2 million from over 500 plus paid speaking engagements from all over the world. And he's done everything from closed door workshops to keynotes in front of 13,000 people. He started his business, the Speaker Lab, in 2015, which helps to give other speakers the resources he wished he'd had when he started out speaking. The Speaker Lab provides courses and coaching and has helped thousands of speakers to start and grow their businesses, gain clarity, confidence, figure out what their message is and really hone in to what they feel called to do, which is absolutely amazing. So he helps teach other speakers to consistently get booked and paid to speak. The Speaker Lab is a two-time Inc. 5000 chart business, ranked at number 1900. So that is a huge feat, you guys. And they're actually about to three-peat after the conclusion of 2022. So, man, congrats on that, Grant. He's just got so much wisdom to give you guys in this podcast. And one of my favorite things is he's somebody who just came from a really like a normal backstory, nothing crazy, no crazy trauma or all this stuff. And so he really proves that you don't have to have that to have a really huge impact, to make really great results, to get paid to speak, to get paid to share your message, and to even have a message. So I'm really excited for you guys to hear him in this episode because he really gives hope to all of us that anyone can do it. Everyone has a message deep down inside. You just have to really, you know, get clarity, get confidence, and take action. So he's going to give you all kinds of steps that he goes through with his clients and his students, and it's just really amazing. So let's get started. Okay, welcome back, everybody, to the Abundance Formula Podcast. Today, I'm so excited to have Grant Baldwin on. He's the founder of the Speaker Lab. I've taken some of his free webinars. He's absolutely amazing. So I'm so excited you're here today to talk with us some more. Thanks for being here.
Gina, thanks for letting me hang out with you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, so let's go ahead and launch and you tell everyone about who you are and some of your backstory that's kind of landed you where you are today and with all the things you're doing today.
Yeah. So if we go way back in time, in high school, I was really involved in my local church and my youth pastor had a really big impact in my life. And I was like, I want to do that. Like, that seems like a really cool gig, seems like a cool profession, like this professional, be a professional teenager, basically, is the way I thought of it. And one of the things that I really resonated with my youth pastor was he had a huge impact in my life, but he was a great speaker. And I was like, I think I could do that. That'd be kind of cool. And so I actually kind of followed that path. I went to Bible college. I was a youth pastor at a different church for a little while. And being a youth pastor gave me a lot of opportunities to speak. And speaking is one of those things that I felt like I was decent at and wanted to do more of, but I didn't really know, like, how does this world work and how do you get started and what do you speak about and who hires speakers and how much do you charge and this whole mysterious world of the speaking industry. And so at the time, this was 17, 18 years ago or so, there wasn't really any books or podcasts or training or resources or anything about the speaking industry. So I found myself just like emailing other speakers, harassing, stalking, peppering, can I pick your brain type emails. And just like, just tell me what to do. I'll do it. Just tell me what to do. And so learned a couple things and booked a couple gigs and booked a couple more gigs and eventually got to a point where I was doing about 60, 70 gigs a year and was speaking full time. And it was awesome. I was having a blast, but I had a lot of people who were also asking me like, hey, I want to be a speaker. How would I do that? How did you go from zero to 70 gigs? And so we started doing some coaching and teaching training, started a podcast around that. And that really evolved into what we do today. And so I started about 6 years ago, a training company for speakers called The Speaker Lab. And we teach people how to find and book paid speaking engagements. And so understanding like, how do you take your message and share that with other people and get paid to do that? And so that's the core of what I do today.
That's awesome. I love it. And just in kind of reading about you, one of my favorite things that I was excited to ask you is you're always referring to yourself as you're just a normal dude. You didn't have some crazy backstory. I love this quote that you'd said in numerous places. I found it where you just say, just because I'm a normal guy doesn't mean I want to live a normal, mundane existence. I had a message to share and a dream to make it happen. So how can people find power in their story, especially if they feel like they haven't had some like epic backstory or some crazy trauma or, you know, how do they realize their story has power and impact as well?
Yeah, it's a really great question. I felt that intimidation whenever I got started because I assumed the way, you know, a lot of people who may be watching or listening feel that in order to be a speaker, you have to have overcome some crazy obstacle. You need to have conquered cancer. You need to have climbed Mount Everest in your shorts. You need to have won a gold medal. Like you need to have done something where you're like, oh, well, of course they're a speaker. You know, you need to have been a president or something. And so I'm looking at myself like, I'm a white male from the Midwest who had a normal middle-class life. Like I've never broken a bone. I've just lived a pretty, like what would be on paper. My resume is just kind of like, I don't get it. Like, why would this guy be a speaker? And in fact, early on, I remember meeting another speaker who's become a good friend. And he has a crazy story. He had cancer as a child, had a leg amputated, and went on to become a one-legged downhill skier in the Paralympics. And so I hear this and I'm just like, dude, I can't compete with you. Like I got none of that at all. But the reality is like, as speakers, we are in the business of solving problems. We're in the business of providing solutions. And so if you have a story, great. But if you don't have a story, that's okay. That does not need to be a limiting factor in your ability to help solve problems. And so one thing I quickly learned was, okay, if I can still solve problems, if I can be a great speaker, if I can still impact an audience, then that's okay. I don't have to have some crazy backstory. They're not hiring me necessarily for my backstory. They're hiring me for what I can do and provide for that audience. And so that was definitely the mentality as a speaker, but I think that that's true just in life. You know, I'm married to my high school sweetheart. We've been together for 25 years. We have three beautiful daughters. And so it's me and a house full of women. It's the absolute best. And this is the same type of stuff I would tell my girls. Our oldest daughter is 16 and she's starting to think through, you know, college and do I go to college? What do I want to do? And so the other day, her and I were out, just the two of us were on a little date. And I said, hey, listen, like, you know, mom and I have a great marriage. Mom and I have a great life. And it's not because like anything's been given to us. Like we've been super, super intentional about the kind of life that we want to create. And, you know, fast forward to today and like today, like life is really, really great, but it hasn't always been that way. And it's not always going to be smooth and it won't always be smooth from here on out, but we've been intentional to like make decisions to create the kind of life that we want. And so for you as a, you know, my 16-year-old daughter, like life can be what you want, but it's up to you to make it happen. And so just because like mom and dad have a great life, does it guarantee a squat for you? And just because mom and dad have a great life today, does it mean like life is going to be amazing and perfect from here on out? So when we talk about like having that abundance mentality, like it's also just the, you know, being intentional about the kind of life that you want to create and then taking action to work toward that. So for me, I'm going like, I want to be a speaker, but you know, I don't know what to do and I don't know how to get started. I don't know what to speak about. And I know, yada, yada, yada. It's like, yeah, but like, that's all, you can figure all that stuff out. And like with doing anything, you know, and I don't know. You know, like our oldest daughter, she started an Etsy shop recently and she's trying to figure out like, how do you sell things on Etsy? I was like, we can figure that out. You know, like someone's done it before and we can learn from them and figure out what worked for them and reverse engineer it and it can work for you. But it doesn't, you know, nothing happens unless you put in the work and put in the effort. So that was a long rambly answer there.
No, but I love that because that's what people need to read. I love how you, and that was one of the things that in that free webinar I really loved is you guys delve really deep into what problem do you solve? And so I was curious if you could kind of walk some people through a little bit of that process to, you know, to really niche down, like what problem they solve. Because like you said, I think a lot of people, they either have a great story and so it's kind of their springboard, or again, they feel pretty normal, but they feel like they have a message, don't know what it is, or have an idea of the general view, but how do they narrow it down so then they can launch to really know who to even reach out to, because that's the message they have that would work for that conference or that company or whatever. So walk people through kind of what y'all do to help people narrow down what problem they solve.
Yeah, so you're exactly right. So inside all of the training that we do with our students and our clients, and even just through our free resources, we walk through what we call the Speaker Success Roadmap. And so it makes a five-step process. It makes the acronym SPEAK, S-P-E-A-K. And so what you're kind of alluding to there is that first part of the process, the S, which is select a problem to solve. And so this comes down to two key questions that you need to answer. And this isn't exclusive to just speakers. This is true for like any entrepreneur doing any type of work. Is you have to be clear, number one, is who do you speak to, and number two, what problem do you solve? And you want these things to be as narrow and as focused as possible. The mistake a lot of speakers make is we feel like we need to be as broad and vague as possible. And so sometimes I'll talk to speakers and say, hey, you know, who do you speak to? And they say, well, I speak to humans. I speak to people. My message is for everybody. It's like, well, is it though? And sometimes when I ask, like, okay, tell me what you speak about, it's like, well, what do you want me to speak about? I can speak about anything. I can talk about business or podcasting or marriage or family or, you know, pets or like on and on the list goes. And it's like, that doesn't work. And so the analogy I always like to use is you want to be the steakhouse and not the buffet. The steakhouse, not the buffet. Meaning, if you know there's a group of us going out to eat, we're looking for a good steak, like we have a choice. You could go to a buffet where steak is one of 100 things that they offer and they're all mediocre, or we could go to a steakhouse where they do one thing, but they do that one thing really, really, really well. So they don't do sushi, they don't do tacos, they don't do pasta, they don't do cupcakes, they do steak, and that's it. And so it's counterintuitive, but the more narrow, the more focused, the more clear you are, the easier it is to find the right type of gigs versus trying to be all things for all people. And again, that's really, I know it's easy to say and it's really difficult to execute on, because we have like the scope creep of we want to keep expanding, but I could also do this. And yes, I have a steakhouse, but I make the best spaghetti, or oh, I could also do such, you know, amazing tacos. And like, we want to start to creep out. It's like, no, just if you're a steakhouse, be a steakhouse, but we don't appeal to vegetarians. That's okay. You don't have to, you should not appeal to anybody and everybody. You should appeal to this audience and that's it. And by doing that, then it makes it a lot simpler for people to be like, ah, yes, you're exactly what I'm looking for. So let me give you another example. Let's imagine, like, God forbid, that you needed brain surgery. All right. If someone had a brain issue and you need brain surgery, you have a choice. You could go to your local family medical doctor. They are a doctor. They went to med school. They may have done some surgeries before. They know more about the brain than you or I do, but they've never done brain surgery. Or you could go to a brain surgeon where day in and day out, that's all that they do. You know, if you got a broken arm, you don't go to them. You got a bad cough, you don't go to them. You got COVID, you don't go to them. But if you got a brain issue, like, that's who you go to. And it's, again, it's counterintuitive, but they're like, no, I just do this one thing and that's it. And I'm really good at that. But it makes it easier for people to be like, oh, you need a brain issue? I got the doctor you need to see. Versus like, I guess you could talk to my family doctor. Like, maybe they could do it, maybe not. I'm not totally sure. Like, no, like, the more specific, the more clear, the more narrow, the more focused you are, the easier it is to get traction and to be successful in your speaking business. And again, like I mentioned, this isn't exclusive to just speakers. Like, this is for anybody, any business, any industry, whether you're providing a product or service, whatever it may be. The more specific, the more clear, the more focused you are, the easier it is to build traction.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, that doctor's example was one of the great ones that y'all had used in that webinar. I was like, that's so true. It's like, and it doesn't mean that there's not so many nuances within topics of the brain, you know, totally. So it's not like I think people get afraid that they're not going to be able to like talk on all these different messages they're passionate about. It's like, you can find a way to hone it into your narrow niche, like you said, and especially getting started, which is the hardest part, getting those referral sources built up. Like, you want to be the brain guy or whatever it is, because that's then how you can even get into any other realm, is you just got to get started. And so that's the hardest part for people, just getting started. So I loved that doctor mentality. It makes so much sense. Everyone's a doctor, but what kind of doctor do you actually need? And that's what those people who host those events and gigs are looking for. This is the kind of person I need to fill this slot. And so when you're really clear, it's easy for them to find you. So
let me piggyback on that. One other thought is that I think sometimes part of the challenge or the difficulty in picking, you know, who do you speak to? What do you speak about? What problem do you solve? Is we feel like we're making a permanent decision and we feel like, okay, this is who I speak to. This is the problem. This is the only thing I can ever do forever and ever and ever. But like, that's not true. Like, we're picking a starting point. And so you're not getting a tattoo. You're not getting married here. Like, so if you need to pivot or adjust or course correct, that's fine. Like, that's normal. That's common. you know, there's a lot of speakers who they got started speaking on this, and then it kind of evolved to that. And then it's kind of like as their own interests and industry evolves, and like it kind of, you know, it kind of morphs over time. But the point being is like they started somewhere. So one thing we tell our students and clients is it's much easier to steer a car in motion than it is to steer a car in park. And so when a car is in park and you try to turn the wheel, like it's just not going anywhere, but you get that car going just a mile or two an hour, like just barely moving, like, okay, now I can start to kind of pivot. And so like, let's get going. And then we can kind of make some adjustments versus like, I'm going to sit on the sideline, not do anything, wait for the stars to be aligned, wait for everything to be perfect. And then I'll move forward. Like that's just not going to happen.
Right. Yes. I love that. Do you mind telling everybody the other little, or not the other little, the other steps to your speaker's success roadmap? And then I'm curious which you find people struggle with the most of those.
Yeah. Hands down. The one that the people struggle with the most is what we just covered. Yeah. Okay. Because once you get clear on that, everything else becomes so much simpler, but like, we just want to like fast forward to some of the later steps, which is just going like, yeah, but I can speak on anything. Just tell me how to get gigs. It's like, no, hang on. Let's start here. Let's get clear here. And then let's take some steps forward. So the, let's go kind of high level here. So the S is again, select a problem to solve, getting clear on who you speak to, what problem you solve. The P is to prepare your talk. So be really clear on what the solution is that you are providing to that audience. And this also means like thinking through, do I offer keynotes? Do I offer breakouts? Do I offer workshops? Do I offer seminars? Do I do this in person? Do I do this virtually? And so thinking through what's the best way to provide a solution. It could be a combination of those things. What's the best way to provide solution to the audience or the client that you're going to be working with? Next part of the process, E, is to establish yourself as the expert. So two key marketing assets every speaker needs is you need a website and you need a demo video. So in this day and age, if you don't have a website, you don't exist. It's hard for people to take you seriously. So it's important to have a website. And then a demo video is one of those things that can, I guess, like can feel intimidating or daunting. But think of it like this. Think of it like a movie trailer. So a movie trailer is basically they take a 2-hour movie, they boil it down to 2 or 3 minutes. And within those 2 or 3 minutes, you have an idea of who's in it, what's the plot, what's the theme, what's the genre. And the point of a demo video and the point of a movie trailer is to make people want to see more. So literally just a couple nights ago, my wife and I went to the movies, and you know, before the movie starts, they're throwing all these trailers, and like, I don't need to see like an entire movie to determine whether or not I'm interested in it. Like usually within like the first 10 seconds, we're looking at each other like, oh, this is going to be good. Or just like, this is stupid. There's no chance I'm ever watching that. Right.
Yeah.
And it's not that a movie's like bad or not good or whatever. It's just like, everybody's going to have something kind of different of what they are looking for. And so an event planner, a decision maker, they are in the risk mitigation business. Meaning if I hire you and I put you up on stage in front of my audience and I give you a microphone and I pay you money, I got to make sure you're going to represent me well. You're not going to embarrass us. You're not going to say something stupid. And you're just going to be like a fit for what it is that we're looking for. Maybe you're a phenomenal speaker. You're just not what we're looking for. I don't need to watch a 60-minute video to determine that. Like I can get a good idea within a couple of minutes. And so that's what a demo video is it gives an event planner or decision maker kind of a little taste of this is how you speak. This is what you talk about. This is kind of the style. This is a bit of your message and whether or not it would be a good fit. So that's the E, establish yourself as the expert. A is acquire paid speaking gigs. Now, again, like I touched on, this is the thing like we want to fast forward to. Yeah, man, just tell me how to book gigs. Like, yeah, but you got to be clear on who you speak to, what problem you solve. It's like, no, I don't need those things. Just tell me how to book it. No, but you got to like know what your solution is that you're providing. And you got to have a website and demo video. No, I don't need any of that. Just it's like you got to have the foundational pieces in place first, because then when we get to this point, it becomes a lot simpler. So this point, though, is a mistake a lot of speakers make is they're much more reactive than proactive. Meaning, all right, I got my website up, I got my demo video up, I know who I speak to, I know what I speak about. Now I just sit back and I wait for the phone to ring. I'm like, it just doesn't work like that. Like your mom is thrilled about your website and she's going to tell both of her friends. Nobody else cares. Yeah. And so at this point, we like speaking is like any other business. It's very much a momentum thing. And so we want to get the ball rolling. And so one of the best things to do is to identify conferences, events, decision makers, event planners, and proactively reach out to them. You're not trying to convince them to hire a speaker. They're already planning on hiring a speaker. You're just showing them why you would be a good fit for their event. And so starting conversations with event planners, starting conversations with decision makers, having a system in place to proactively follow up with them. So when they say, hey, we're not looking at speakers right now, check back with me in 2 months, they don't think you're going to actually do it. But whenever you follow up with them in 2 months, you're also kind of giving them a taste of like, hey, this is what it's like to work with me. Like, I got my crap together and I'm going to make your life simple as an event planner. So that's the A, acquire paid speaking gigs, having a system in place to do that. And the last part, K, is know when to scale. And well, when we talk about this, a lot of people who are interested in speaking are also interested in writing a book or coaching or consulting or doing a course or doing a podcast. And like, yeah, you all those things are great. You can do all those things, but something's going to come first. Something's going to come last. And so you got to be really clear and intentional about how speaking fits into the mix of that. So again, I know that's a lot of information, kind of drinking from a fire hose there. But again, that's kind of the speaker success roadmap that we teach at the Speaker Lab.
Yeah. And I know that you guys help people with each of those steps, which is why it's such a great program, because then you hold their hand through all of those little steps, totally. Help them work it out per their own personal experience and story. So I love that. One thing that is one of the missions of the Speakers Lab is, or the Speaker Lab is to help speakers create clarity, confidence, and a clear path to make an impact. Mm-hmm. So I know in general, what we just talked about helps them all create clarity. But that's one thing I'm passionate about, is helping people feel clarity on what they're called to do and then really stepping in and making it a reality. So mm-hmm. What's one of maybe the core things of how you help someone create clarity around the impact they want to make?
Yeah. And so when we go back to the speaker success roadmap, that speak framework, is helping them get clarity on who do I speak to? What do I speak about? What problem do I solve? Because I think for a lot of us, we have kind of this imposter syndrome of like, I think it'd be cool to be a speaker, but like, who am I? Like, what do I, it's the same thing I was questioning. Like, I'm not as good of a speaker as they are. I don't have the crazy story that he does. And like, why would anyone listen to me? And so you're kind of just, when you just don't know what you don't know. And you're kind of coming into it, just going like, can someone kind of like help me out here of like, what are the opportunities? What's even on the menu within the speaking industry of what I could even do? And so you're kind of looking for some clarity around that. And in addition, I love the expression that it's hard to read the label from inside the jar. It's hard to read the label from inside the jar because we all see our lives right here, like right up against our face. And just like, it's hard to kind of step back and kind of get some clarity on what could I speak about? This may seem like common sense to me, but maybe like it's rocket science to the rest of the world. And like, I could really, it's something I really understand. I could certainly help people with, but I don't see that in myself, but maybe other people can recognize that in me. So helping get some clarity there. But I think the big part there is also the confidence of a lot of people, again, are kind of like, why me? I think it'd be awesome, but am I good enough? Do I have what it takes? And like, those questions are all like normal, common questions. And so like, I think that one of the great highlights for me within the Speaker Lab is when we work with our students and they have that aha, they have that eureka moment. They book that first gig. And I think of it almost just like pushing that first domino. And when you push that first domino, it's just like, oh, I can totally do this. Like, there's just a new level of confidence of like, oh, this, it requires work and effort, but I know what to do now. I can follow this. So we talk about this a lot internally. Like, we have to give students the clarity. We have to give them the confidence. We have to give them the plan of, here's the speak framework. Here's the steps that you need to take to follow to get to the results that you're trying to accomplish within your speaking business. And again, it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier as it relates to my oldest daughter. Like, you can do this, but it doesn't just magically happen, right? So like, it requires work, it requires effort, it requires discipline, but you can absolutely, you know, build a speaking business and get paid to share your message and make an impact.
Mm-hmm. And this one's kind of two questions in one following that. So when you were very, very first getting started, obviously you didn't necessarily have this roadmap. So you're kind of figuring it out process for yourself. Did you have there's no speaking gigs. You're looking for that first paid speaking gig. Mm-hmm. Did you have the whole demo thing, video thing? Did you have all of that going? Or like, give us a picture of what it looked like for in the beginning, like how do you even get a demo video if you haven't actually spoken to anybody yet? Yep. So how do you even like, with your nobody to anybody, you can't Google you can't, you know, like, how do they start from that point to even get some of that going? What did that look like for you?
Totally. It's a great question. It's kind of like this chicken egg situation. You know, like how do I get gigs if I don't have footage? How do I get footage if I don't have gigs? Like what do I do now?
Good or,
Totally. Yeah. And so one of the best things that you can do is that you can do a couple different things. One is that you can speak at something for free just with the sole purpose of like, I'm just trying to get footage, right? And so that's something that you could do. That's something that I did. So I was a former youth pastor. I had some friends in our town that were youth pastors. And so I talked to one of them like, hey, can I just come speak to your youth group? And that was largely my first demo video, was me speaking to a group of about 30 teenagers. I had a little handy cam on the side of the room, and the audio wasn't great. The lighting was bad, but it worked. Like it was version 1.0, which is another thing I think is so important for people to remember, is you're creating version 1.0. So at this point, if we fast forward to today, I've had, I don't know, 7 or 8 demo videos, 5 or 6 websites. And so it's like version 1.0, work with what you've got, do it with excellence and improve as you go. So I've got that, that very first video, and then, you know, I booked something and then I got some better footage from that. And then I make a new video, and then I booked a couple other things and made a new video. And like that got me going for a little while there. So you could do something where you speak at something for free. Another option, and this works really well, I know it sounds weird, but is you could speak to an empty room. Now, if you're going to do this in the type of setting where someone would actually hire you to speak, meaning nobody's hiring you to speak in your kitchen or your living room or your garage or your bedroom. So like, don't record it standing in your bathroom, right? Like that's not gonna work, because when someone's watching a demo video and an event planner's determining like, is this person a good fit? Would they work with our audience? They're trying to just picture like, what would that be like for them to speak? So you wanna record this in, go to a theater, an auditorium, a ballroom, a banquet hall, a boardroom, some type of setting where you're trying to get booked to speak. What's that general feeling like? And so I remember one of my first demo videos after like version, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 or something like that, was I spoke to as a big national conference. There was about 3,000 people, did a keynote, and I used that footage to turn it into a demo video. And if you watch the entire demo video, the whole thing is a tight shot of me on stage. And you can tell like it's a cool stage setup, but like you have no idea how many people are in the room, you know? So sometimes I'll show that to speakers and I'll say, hey, just watch this video. Tell me how many people are in the room. And like you can make whatever number up. It doesn't matter because you don't see anybody else. I was like, there's actually 3,000 people in the room, but there could have been none people in the room and it would have been still a super effective video. So I get it's kind of weird where you're recording something in an empty room, but that can work and that can be really, really effective. So the other thing that you kind of touched on is, you know, getting started when nobody knows who you are, right? And you're just trying to build something. And like I said, speaking is very much a momentum business, but when you're trying to get going, it feels like pushing this boulder uphill and you're just like, I'm just trying to get some traction here. But you got to remember, again, like an event planner, decision maker, they're you're not trying to convince them to hire a speaker. Like they're looking for a speaker. And a lot of events, like sometimes we assume like every event has a massive budget and they're looking for some big marquee name. And like they don't, you know. Are those events out there? Absolutely. But the majority of them have $500, $1,000, $2,000, and they can't afford some $30,000 amazing speaker. They have $1,000, but they still want a solid speaker. They still want a quality speaker. And so if you have footage that shows like, I can deliver for your event and here's what I speak about and here's why it's a good fit for your audience, like, why wouldn't they give you a shot? You know, because they're looking for someone who's good. It's kind of like all of us, like when we buy anything, we're looking for a good value, right? So if you go out to eat, you want to feel like I got more than what I paid for. You know, if you go on a trip, you go to a hotel, you're like, oh, dang, I cannot believe I got to stay at this cool place for this price. And I just feel like, oh, this is awesome. What people don't want to do is feel like, ah, like I way overpaid for this, you know? And so especially early on, like there's a lot of events where they have $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, and they still want a solid speaker. And so if you're able to bring that to the table, they're like, I cannot believe we got this amazing speaker, this kind of up and coming aspiring speaker for, you know, $2,500. Like, this is amazing. Like that, there's a huge opportunities in the marketplace for that.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I love it. That gives people a lot of hope and ideas. And like, again, just knowing that that's what you did. That's totally really cool for everybody and to where you're at now. So this is a question I actually heard on a different podcast recently. I don't know if you know who Lori Harder is, but she's got a podcast called Earn Your Happy. And I love this question. It's something I've tried to figure out how to ask in a lot of ways, but it was finally something succinct and I loved it. So I wanted to ask you today, Is there a story that you could tell us of a time between maybe the ages of like 8 or 14, it could be a little younger, a little older, whatever, but that you can vividly recall something or in this story that developed the person that you are today?
Good question. Yeah, I like one thing that comes to mind is specifically as it relates to kind of the topic we've been on of speaking is, like I mentioned, I was really involved in my local church youth group, and my youth pastor had a big impact in my life. And we were planning a missions trip to Jamaica. And I remember asking, I was like, hey, this group we're gonna be working with, can I speak at it? You know, can I speak at one of these services or something? And he said yes. And he believed in me. And so I started working on it and prepping for it. And I remember a couple weeks out or something, I backed out. I was just like, I don't think I can do this. And he was just like, cool. I'm like, you don't want to do this, fine. Nope. Nobody, like, you know, US main type deal. And, but I just remember one, the belief he had in me that, yeah, I see potential in you could do this, but also like just the insecurity and doubt and fear that I had in myself of like, what do I have to say? Why would I be the one that could do this? But I just remember the feeling of like, I could do this. I think I could make this happen. Like, I think I could be a decent speaker. And at the same time, I was, 14, 15, 16, a teenager, figuring out life, if anything. But I just remember like that interest in speaking, and him having some belief in me, even though I didn't have the, belief in myself to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Did when you were actually starting to get back, the next time you were actually going to speak, did that memory come back up for you? Like, okay, I'm not going to back out this time. I already did it once. And I knew how that felt. Like, did it ever pop back up for you again when you were really about to dive back into this, to speaking at anything?
Yeah. I mean, yes and no. Like there's, I think most speakers, at any level feel some level of insecurity and doubt and fear and worry. And like those, I think to some degree, those things are normal and can be healthy. And there's plenty of times where I'm getting ready to speak at some events and some maybe big, big stage event, and they have some other like big name speakers or something. And I'm just like, what am I doing here? Like, clearly they made a clerical error to invite me and along with these speakers. And so, yeah, I think it's not uncommon for speakers just to have kind of those questions and those doubts and those insecurities. And I think that like, that's, especially just not just being a speaker, but just being an entrepreneur in general, like you deal with a lot of those insecurities and a lot of those doubts. And, I think that's largely a part of life, whether you're an entrepreneur or whatever it is that you choose to do, is learning to like manage and deal with those feelings and those emotions, and recognizing like those are normal feelings and emotions. Like that's okay. And you have to like be comfortable with navigating that. Like, I think one other thought I'll share, this wasn't at this kind of like stage of life, but I remember two times. One was, okay, I want to be a speaker and I don't know what to do. How do I do this? And so there's a guy I'd emailed, I reached out to, and within like the, I was doing a lot of speaking and like, or wanting to do some speaking, like in the youth industry, like education. And this was like one of the main guys in that space. And so I reached out to him, and he was doing a gig like 3 hours from where I lived. And he was like, hey, if you want to come on out to the event. I was like, oh, heck yeah, I'm going to be there. And so I drove up, and he was kind enough to, we went to dinner ahead of time. And then I went to see him speak. And it was a big event, several thousand people. And I remember just sitting, like talking with him, and then watching him speak, and then just feeling like, oh, I could do that. And not like in a cocky, arrogant, like, oh, I'm as good as him, but just like, I think it was just like, oh, okay. Like maybe I've just been overcomplicating it in my mind of what this is, but like, he's just a normal dude. Like if he can do that, I can do that. And he's great. And not to take anything at all away from him, but it kind of gave me some confidence. And another time, I remember a couple years later, I'd been speaking full time for a couple of years, and I was interested in starting to do some of this like coaching training course stuff that we do now within the Speaker Lab. And so I went to this kind of like online business conference event, and there were a couple other like people there that I wasn't speaking. I was just attending, and a couple other people that I knew. And so I went to a dinner one night with several, like a couple other like entrepreneurs that I knew of, I respected, I looked up to. It's like, oh, these people are sharp. Like they're doing something legit. I'm familiar with them, know their name. And so I went to dinner, and my big takeaway from coming away from that was like, oh, they don't know what they're doing either. Like,
that's awesome.
They're just like, they're good people. They're nice. Like they're smart people, but like, they're just as insecure with themselves as I am, you know? And so like those type of moments, and so when I talk with entrepreneurs and people today, it's just like, hey, every single one of us, we are making it up as we go. We're doing our best. We're figuring it out. I was on a call yesterday with an entrepreneur that if I said their name, I'm sure you and your audience would know of, someone that does, you know, millions and millions in their business. And I remember coming away from that same call of just like, oh, they don't know what they're doing either, you know?
Yeah.
And again, not in a negative way at all, but just like, we're all figuring it out. We're all making it up. We're all doing our best. And I think if anything, like that's super, super reassuring that nobody out there has any special power, ability, talent that anybody watching or listening doesn't have. They just did it. They just executed. They made mistakes. They took two steps forward, one step back, three steps forward, two steps back, and they just made progress. And I think that's that's the case with me as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. It's just like the only talent there is just to keep going and to, totally. You know, just not focus on being embarrassed of the mess up, just laugh about it, move on. Ask the questions, not be ashamed about it, just own it and move on, because you know you're moving forward and that's the aim and help,
yep.
Wanting to help people. So I love that should help everybody feel much better. Another thing that you say that I know that's important to you is that who you are is more important than what you do. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us a little bit about why this message is so important to you and maybe what inspired it?
Yeah, I love this idea. Who you are is more important than what you do. When I speak, a lot of times this is something I talk about with our team internally. We got about 30 people on the team, and something I share with them all the time. Who you are is more important than what you do. Meaning, I love entrepreneurship. I love speaking. I love podcasting. I love business. You know, I love all these things. They're super, super fun to me. But my most important roles are being a good husband and being a good father. And so if I'm a great entrepreneur, if I'm a great speaker, if I'm a great fill in the blank, but I drop the ball as a husband, as a dad, if I'm the shell of a human being, I'm doing it wrong. I've really dropped the ball. And so, you know, my wife, she had a choice, but she's stuck with me now. But my daughters, they didn't get a choice. You know, they didn't get to pick me. And so I've got one shot to be their dad. And so that is something that like, I don't want to drop the ball on. I don't want to mess up. And so I think sometimes it's easy to think that you can't have both. Meaning like, well, if you're going to be a great entrepreneur, you can't possibly be a good family man. I was like, I think that's complete BS. Like, I think you can absolutely have your cake and eat it too. But it also means you have to be super intentional about it, and you have to be super, you know, strategic about it rather than just assuming it's going to happen. So, you know, I tell our team all the time, like, I genuinely, like, I'm interested in like what you do for the company and your role and how we impact speakers, but I'm way more interested in who you are as a mom, as a dad, as a husband, as a wife, as a son, as a daughter, as like a human being. Like, that stuff is way more important than what we do on a daily basis in terms of our work. And so I want the people that we work with and the students that we work with, that their life is better having worked with us. And again, when I say life, like, meaning like, has nothing to do with speaking. Like, I want our teammates or team members to be, you know, better husbands, better moms, better wives, better human beings, because they were a part of the Speaker Lab. So yeah, that's a big, big thing to me, is just like, not just believing, but living that who you are is more important than what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Well, so you have a new book that's out, The Successful Speaker, 5 Steps to Booking Gigs, Getting Paid, and Building Your Platform. Tell us about your book and where people can find it, who it's for, all that good stuff.
Yeah. And so the book basically takes that 5-step framework, that SPEAK framework, that SPEAK acronym we talked about, and just goes way more in depth on that. And so, in fact, we actually we're giving away copies of the book for free now. And so if people are interested in that, if you go to thespeakerlab.com, there'll be a link there where we'll send you the book for free. You just pay a couple bucks for shipping and it's all yours. But yeah, we got the book that just walks through and teaches like everything we've covered here, way more in depth and more stories right. and case studies and examples on how do you actually find a book gigs and how much do you charge and how do you get started and what's the blueprint and the playbook that you need to follow. And so the successful speaker is the roadmap that you need to follow. And again, you can get that free by going over to thespeakerlab.com.
Awesome. Yeah. So if any of this is interested, you guys, like the technicalities of the speaking, that's where you're going to find that roadmap that we've been talking about here. And then you also have a podcast, the Speaker Lab podcast, had that for a while. So guys, make sure you check that out. But I wondered, what's one of the most impactful things that somebody who's been on your podcast has said, whether it's a piece of advice about life or tactical stuff or speaking, whatever it is, does something stand out to you of a guest on your podcast?
Yeah, really good question. I think, so at this point we've done over 400 episodes of the podcast. And so, yeah, if you listen to this podcast, you probably listen to other ones. And so definitely check out the Speaker Lab podcast. But I think the common thread that sticks out is something that we just kind of touched on, that we interview a lot of speakers, and some speakers that you've heard of, some speakers you've never heard of, but speakers that are just getting started, speakers that are super successful and make millions of dollars speaking. But the common thread among all of them is, again, they're nothing special. And they work hard and they've done something for an extended period of time. And they've followed a dream to be a speaker and they've made it happen. And so, I think it's just kind of like I think sometimes like you look up to some speaker you admire, you respect, and you just think like, I could never do that. But like, they're just a normal human. And again, they're doing their best. Another thing I think that's important to remember with speakers is any speaker you look up to, you admire, you respect, is like they all started from zero. There was a time where they had none speaking gigs and then they did their first gig. And so we just assume like, I'll never be as good as them and they've been at it for so long. Like, yeah, that's where they are today. But you can't compare where you're at today to where they are today. That's not fair because they got started at some point too. And so, you know, like I mentioned, I've done 400 episodes of a podcast, but like there was a time where I had done zero episodes of a podcast. And every podcast starts with episode one. And you can't get to episode 100 or 200 or 400 or 1,000 unless you start with episode one. And so I think that again, any speaker, author, podcaster, entrepreneur, whatever that you look up to, you admire, like they all start at one and go from there. And so you can absolutely do the same.
Awesome. Love that. Well, so where can everybody find you, follow you, stay in touch with all the things that you're doing? Tell everybody where to go.
Yeah, everything we do is over at the Speaker Lab. Again, thespeakerlab.com. We've got the book over there. The podcast is over there. We also have a free speaking fee calculator. So if you want to check that out, you can find a link there or go to myspeakerfee.com. Myspeakerfee.com. It is totally free. You answer a couple questions. It'll spit out a number of what you should be charging as a speaker. And so that's another fun tool to play with. So yeah, go to myspeakerfee.com or check out everything else over at thespeakerlab.com.
Perfect. And I'll have all that in the show notes as well. I'm going to throw in one extra question, just knowing that you have daughters. We've got two daughters as well. We got two daughters, not three, but two. At the end of all the things that you do and achieve, what is it that if your daughters could be left with one thing is what dad is to them? What would you hope that would be?
Great question. I hope my girls see a few things. I hope that they, like one thing that really comes to mind is I hope they see how much I love their mom. And like, I know that one of the best ways that I can be a good dad is to be a good husband. And so I talk all the time to them about your mom is amazing. You are super lucky to have a mom like yours. You guys won the jackpot in the lottery with this mom. So I think like that's something I try to be really, really intentional about, as mom is amazing and awesome and talented and beautiful and smart and funny and a ton of fun. And she just happens to be your mom. And so, yeah, just reminding them of that. I think also that, you know, kind of what we touched on earlier is, again, you know, my wife and I have a great marriage. We just celebrated 20 years of marriage. We have a great marriage and we have a great life. Like I would not trade lives with anyone. Absolutely love, you know, the kind of life that we've built, but also again, just the intentionality of that. And it's not just like, it didn't just magically happen. And so we've really prioritized freedom, flexibility, autonomy, and have made decisions and built our life in such a way to work towards that and accomplish that. And so, you know, reminding the girls of that, that, you know, mom and dad weren't given squat, you know, like we have been intentional to create this kind of life and you can absolutely do the same, but it's like mom and dad aren't going to do it for you. And ultimately it's your decisions and your intentionality that creates the kind of life that you want to have.
Mm-hmm. Love that. That's awesome. Well, so to my last question, I love asking everybody, what does living an abundant life mean to you? And if someone were to ask you how they could start to build an abundant life for themselves, what would you tell them?
Yeah, I knew this question was coming. I started to kind of bleed into it with my previous answer there that I think just, again, having a ton of intentionality about the kind of life that you want to have. And so I'll give you some examples. Like my wife and I and our family, like we love to travel. We love experiences. We love adventure. And so we make it a point to, when we spend money, a lot of times we're spending money on travel and trips and experiences and memories. And like, one thing we love to do is like go back through our, you know, photo album on our phone and look at like, oh, you remember when we did this, or remember when we went there. And not because like we're rich or anything, but like we've always prioritized travel and experiences and memories and doing things with our kids. And so my wife homeschools our daughters, and she's done that for, I think, 10 years now. And it's got pros and cons. There are certainly times where I'm like, man, if they're all in public school or private school, like we could go on a lunch date right now. And like, we could just hang out and that would be amazing. But they're all here. And so, but we've been intentional of, we want to have an awesome family, awesome time with our girls, have amazing experiences and have a lot of freedom, flexibility, and autonomy. And so that just means like, okay, that one of the best ways to do that is through homeschooling. One of the best ways for me to do that is to be self-employed and have my own business. And again, like that's not just a, okay, now I just make that decision on Friday and wake up Monday and it all just magically works out that way. But just going like, okay, what's the ideal life look like that we want to have? What does that abundant life look like? And then we have to make decisions that move us in that direction. And so like every single day that we live life, we're either moving towards that moving toward that direction or moving away from that direction, but we're moving somewhere. And so just being intentional about the kind of life that we want to have. And so again, for us, freedom, flexibility, autonomy, like those things are really, really significant. And so we want to make decisions that lead us toward having that kind of abundant life.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope that you love this episode and that it was able to help you move in the right direction towards building the life that you want. If you take just a quick moment to leave us a positive 5-star review, I'd be so, so grateful, and share with any friends that you think would love it. This not only helps spread the mission of this podcast, but it helps to open the door to even more amazing guests and opportunities to better support you in amplifying your success and overflowing your cup with abundance. Thanks again, guys, and catch you on the next one.